Once again, welcome to Hoboken Grace. I just want to echo what Romine said earlier. If this is your first time with us, we're truly grateful that you made it out, and we hope that you feel right at home. For those of you who might not know me, or if you're listening online, my name is John Carlos, and I'm part of the speaking team here at Hoboken Grace. Right now, we're super excited about what's happening. We just concluded our framework series, and next week we have a guest speaker, Bob Goff, is coming. Yeah. So, actually, on that note, would you guys just wish him luck? I mean, I hear some people wooing and whatnot, and I know he's a New York Times best-selling author, and he's like speaking at all these famous conferences, but he has a tough act to follow speaking here next week, okay? He does. So we're excited. We're super excited as we go into the fall, not just because football started, but we're excited because we've been seeing some amazing things happen here. Right? God has been moving in amazing ways. We saw 5 baptisms last week. We had one of our highest attendances. And the summer has just been full of momentum. And more people are finding their way back to God. And all these things, we've learned more. We've taken steps. And God, as He does, is taking us by the hand. And He's teaching us to love better. To live a life for what matters most. And I'm having a blast. But as all of that happens, I'm aware of one danger in particular. You see, when you learn, and learn from God, you can start falling into this trap that you think that all He's concerned with is teaching us things, making sure that we apply things. But when you look at the Scriptures and you see what His Word says, you see that He's calling us to more than that, a different relationship. In fact, in the New Testament, the relationship that He speaks most of and He calls us most to is that of a father-son, father-daughter relationship. And I want to read it in Romans 8:15. It says this. Romans 8:15, it says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. He adopted you as His own children. He's adopted us into His family. We're His children." And this word Abba in Aramaic, it means daddy or papa. So what he's actually inviting us to an extremely close, extremely intimate relationship. He's not saying, look at me as an authority figure or an imposing father or a teacher for that matter of fact. He's saying, I'm inviting you to be my children, to be my son, to be my daughter. And I'm a dad, I have a 2-year-old, and I want to teach him things. I want to teach him to love, to care for those around him, to live the best life possible, right? But I want it to be about so much more than that. Because maybe if all I did was teach him and tell him what to do, this would be his expression all the time, right? Just serious. Like, yeah, dad, what's up? Yes, I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll sit here so you can take a picture, put it on Facebook, and get a lot of likes and be popular if that's what you want me to do, right? But I want it to be more than that. I want him to do more of this. Scream! Just excited! I'm having a blast with Dad. Mom, look at me. There's a 200-foot cliff, and it's dangerous, but who cares? That's why when I come home sometimes, I'm tired. I just want to relax. And my wife will say, hey, dinner's going to be ready in 30 minutes. But instead of hitting the couch and just relaxing, I'll say, hey, John Enrique, do you want to go to the park? And he gets so excited, he screams. We speak Spanish at home, so he's like, bye, mama, bye. Like, see you later. I'm going to go have fun with Dad. And I'll let him do everything that his mom doesn't let him. Get dirty, jump, all sorts of stuff. Because I don't just want him to learn things from me. I want him to enjoy being around me. And I enjoy being around Him. And the same is true of our God. He wants us to enjoy being around Him. That's why in the Scriptures you see that He has these huge celebrations. He puts things in people's lives so that people would notice and know that they can enjoy and celebrate who He is. In fact, when we talk about the Sabbath a lot, right? The Sabbath is for that, for us to enjoy being with our Father. Look what it says in Isaiah 58:13. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. It's a day to enjoy being with the Father, to enjoy what He's done, who He is. And I realize, I think sometimes God knew that we would be so concerned with doing what He's told us to do and following all the rules and learning more and more that He's like, okay, take a break. One day, just slow down and enjoy it. Enjoy being with me. Enjoy what this relationship is about. Right? So He's like, here's the Sabbath. Enjoy this moment. And I know it's hard to do that sometimes. We're so busy. We're so driven. There's so many things that we want to do to apply. When they teach us something new, we're like, yes, we can do this. That's what I'm all about, right? I'm a go-getter. And then sometimes it's just the people around us that they won't allow us to enjoy the moment. They're too concerned with teaching us new things or making sure that we're following all the same, all the right things. And sometimes we talk about what's your next step, right? Are you following your next step? We fall into that trap. And I don't know about you, but have you ever had a situation when you like screwed up, like a royal screw up, like you've completely blown it, you know it, you did something wrong, you missed something important. You don't need anyone to tell you that you've done something wrong. About a month into a new position at my old job, I was responsible for making payments to our clients. And so I had to make all the payments by 6 p.m. By 6 p.m., all my clients had to have their money. That's when the cutoff is, the Federal Reserve closes, clients can't get paid after that. So about a month in, I'm at my computer doing my job, or supposedly doing my job. Someone's looking at the queue to make sure all the payments went out, and they notice that there's a payment that hasn't gone out. And when they look at the details, it's a $700 million payment that hasn't gone out. $700 million at 5:45 p.m. Everyone starts going nuts, crazy. And obviously, what are they asking? Whose client is it? Whose client is it? Who screwed up? Who screwed up? I start looking at it. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. It was my client. I had not paid out $700 million from 7:30 in the morning. I don't know what I did all day. 5:45 p.m., $700 million. I thought it'd be funny. Told my boss, can I just keep it at this point? She was not amused. I screwed up. And you know, when things like that happen, you're like, I don't need anyone to tell me what I did wrong. I learned my lesson. I knew what I had to do. Go in, pay the clients, right? But things don't work like that. Nope. What happened next day? We go in. What does the boss do? We have a meeting, team meeting. Everyone at team meeting. We know who screwed up, but the whole team's going to hear it, right? So we get cursed out, screamed at, all sorts of things, because we needed to learn our lesson. We needed to be taught a lesson. And sometimes we think that God's the same way. That you walk in here and He's going to call you out on everything that you've done wrong, on the things that you've said you're going to do and that you've learned, but you're not doing. But our God is so much more than that. That's why I love this story of the prodigal son. It's found in the New Testament in Luke. It's the story of a son who disgraced his father. He takes his inheritance and abandons, leaves his family, wastes it, ruins his life, and then he comes back home with nothing to show for it. But when he comes home, it's not simply about learning a lesson. Listen to how this story ends. It's incredible. And if you haven't read the beginning of it, read it. It's found in Luke 15. In Luke 15, 20 through 24, it says this. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. The party began. The story ends with the party. The dad doesn't just invite him back into the family. He throws him a party. He's celebrated. He's excited. And I put myself in the shoes of the son, right? And I'm walking down the road, and I'm looking down, and I see my dad, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get spanked, all these things that I've done. Spanked is like a weird word. He's like, okay, I'm going to get whooped, right? There's consequences for what I've done. But the dad sees him, and he runs. He embraces him, kisses him. He's welcoming him back to the family, reunited with his son. He gets to enjoy being with him, seeing him once again. And that's what our Father's calling us to celebrate that, to celebrate who he is, what he's done, to enjoy being with him. And so today, as we move forward and we've had all this fun and all this excitement during the summer and all these things, I want us to realize that, yes, we've learned a lot. We finished our framework series. We learned a lot. But let's enjoy as well. Let's enjoy who God is. Let's celebrate what God's doing. And so today, as a family, as a church, I want us to celebrate what God's been doing. Last week, as some of you saw the baptisms that we had. And today I want to share a story of one of those who got baptized, and then for all of us to see the baptisms that took place last week. Let's take a look.
My name is Courtney, and this is a little weird for me, mostly because I'm on the video team at Hoboken Grace, and I'm definitely more used to being behind the camera instead of the one in front of it. But I'm going to be baptized on Sunday, August 26th, and I just really wanted to share my story and what it is exactly that brought me to where I am now in my life and in my relationship with God. So growing up, my sister and I definitely learned from the example of my parents. They're just genuinely good people, good, you know, exceptional morals and just such family values. They really taught us to love other people. Definitely another aspect of that growing up was I went to church a lot. And I was baptized as a baby. I made my communion. I made my confirmation. And all the while, I believed in God. I knew the tenets of my faith. I understood the stories that were behind them. But at the same time, I was kind of going through the motions. I was taking the next step because it was there. Flash forward to college, I went to a Catholic university. I was involved in every activity under the sun. Every Sunday night before we went to go hang out with our friends, we would go to Mass. And that was the first time where it was a choice for me, and it was me not going through the motions and not doing something just because it was expected, not just going because my mom was going or because it was a holiday. I took comfort in the words and the message that our pastor, Father Jerry, had to say. And I really used that time to decompress from the week before and get myself ready for the week ahead, and to just really took comfort in that. I got a job as a sales assistant at a business services company, and it wasn't anything that I had planned for myself. I wanted to be a writer or a director or something in film, television, journalism, whatever it was. I went to school for media and English. That wasn't like part of my plan. But here I was working in the city, and my friend Noelle asked me if I wanted to move into Hoboken with her and another friend. So I said, yeah, sure, why not? And we were going home from the path one day, and we found some of the guys from Hoboken Grace. They were handing out granola bars for simple service. And that's when Noelle and I were like, hey, we've kind of been missing out on this, you know, on our Sunday church, so let's kind of start it up again. And I think now that I've been at Hoboken Grace for over a year, I've come to understand that I can have a relationship with God. It's something that's active, that's always growing. I didn't before have the idea in my head that I fit into God's plan anywhere. And that was such a new idea coming to Hoboken Grace, and really knowing and understanding that not only does God love me, and not only did Jesus, you know, he gave up his only son for, you know, for our salvation, but this God is someone that I can have a relationship with, and that's, it's always evolving and always growing. And so I'm really taking this idea of baptism as a step of independence and a step that I'm taking for myself and for my relationship with God. This is me saying that I believe in God. I believe that Jesus died for us.
So many of us had that same story. I knew God, but then I realized it could be personal. I realized that I could know him and that he wanted to know me. And we say it all the time. We love having people here who are at that point where they're not sure if they can follow God or they can trust God. You're just not sure yet. But several of those who took that step of baptism last week were right there where you are. And then they realized that God wanted more for them, that God wanted a personal relationship with them. And see, this summer we've not only seen people taking those first steps, but also people who are a little further along in their journey. And they're realizing that if they allow God, God wants to change lives through them. He wants to use them for his purposes. And that's Sarah's story. So let's take a look at Sarah's story.
My name's Sarah Whittington. I am originally a native of Dunn, North Carolina. But in just a couple of weeks, I will have been in Hoboken for a year. And it's been quite an experience. And I think more than anything, over the past 2.5 years of my life, I've felt that's where my story has been created. I grew up as a pastor's kid my whole life. My dad is a pastor and my mom's a teacher. And so the first part of my life, I grew up going to different churches and living in small towns before we finally settled where my parents now reside in North Carolina. And so it was a long road of being in church and dealing with a lot of different things. Sometimes people think that life as a pastor's kid is really easy. But for me, it was. There's been a lot of joyous moments along the way. But I think also in this, I've really learned about my journey with Christ. And I've learned more about Christ due to the communities that I've found myself in. Each one has been different and has placed me in a different spot along my journey, whether it's been low spots or high spots. I was the non-typical college student. I had one degree the whole time. I knew before I went in what I wanted to do, and I went to Campbell for that purpose, and that was to do trust and wealth management. And so my junior year at Campbell, I did my first internship for U.S. Trust, which is the company I work for now. And I moved to Boston for 3 months by myself with one other intern. That was from Campbell. And at that point in my life, I was really just like sailing the high seas of what I thought God wanted for my life. A lot of things fell through the cracks for me. I didn't get into grad school like I thought I was going to as fast as I wanted to. And I went through a lot of hardship of really realizing that I was dealing with bigger issues that I had ignored for years, like anxiety and stress. So at that point, I found myself at the lowest point of my journey because I was trying to figure out why God would have allowed these things to fall through the cracks. Then during grad school, I got a phone call out of the blue, and it was the recruiter for the trust company, and they wanted to hire me on the spot. And so it didn't take me long, knowing that was the only job offer I had, to say yes. And I thought that all that I needed in my life was right by me. And I didn't need anything else, you know. I had my family and my church. But what I started realizing was that it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. That there was more, and I didn't know what it was. And I could feel God start to strip me of things that maybe I was holding too close to. I got another call from the recruiter, and she said that the person who's supposed to be to New York didn't take the job, and she wanted to know on the spot if I was going to choose Texas or New York, and I thought she was crazy. So after my first week of being here, I came on a Sunday with my then roommate at the time, and I was really scared because I felt alone, and I didn't know what I was going to do, because once I got here, it was more overwhelming than the excitement that I had when I was back home. Starting from the ground up, feeling like you didn't have anybody, feeling like all my weaknesses were exposed. So I went to my first dinner group. About a month after I got here, I got up the courage to go. And I met 7 amazing women. After a couple of months being here, I started on the First Impressions team. I got the courage to join the worship team. I started a dinner group about a month ago. And all this time, like, I'm still not understanding what God is doing, because He just kept opening up doors. So I just kept walking through them. God had wrapped up community for me in a big, beautiful box and put a big red bow on it. And He was like, whatever you experienced back home in North Carolina was just the beginning of what He had in store for my life. I never understood what church family meant until I moved here. I never understood what God's love means between people until I moved here. When I had nothing but just me and God, when I was just trusting whatever He was doing. Great about is what our church family is great about, is that they helped me realize what God had put me here for. It's not just for my career. It's not just for the next thing. He put me here to love other people and to serve Him. And all my life of singing in the worship team and like being in the choir or serving on a drama team or just doing missions work with teams of people, I've never actually tangibly felt God using me until I came here and met complete strangers and opened my heart to something bigger. And I think that's what it's all about. That's what God calls us to do. Regardless of the questions that we have, He's providing for us in ways that we will never understand.
God's been doing some incredible things. I could keep reading stories of what God says, of reasons why we should celebrate, why we have reason to enjoy who He is. But the best stories are out there. They're sitting right next to you. It's your story. It's what God's doing in your life, what God's doing in the life of those around you. That's what we're celebrating as a family, as a community. That's why I encourage you afterwards, meet someone new. Get to know them. Ask them, what are you celebrating? What is God doing in your life? Join a dinner group. Like Sarah said, it's just incredible to know that we have family. And so as we're celebrating all of this, and we've had an incredible summer, we've had mission trips, all sorts of stuff, I just want to invite you in the next 2 weeks, as Bob Goff comes to speak, and on the 16th we kick off a new series, invite someone to be a part of this with you. Invite them into the celebration, to be part of this party. And since we were kids, September is just a natural time to reset. It's programmed in us to start something new. So why not invite someone to start something new with you? To be a part of what's happening, of this incredible journey that God is taking us on. So invite someone, and that's why we showed all these stories, so that you know that what you're inviting them to, it's a party, it's a celebration, it's fun. It's not just about learning, it's about having fun together. So invite them. And as the band comes up and we continue to celebrate and enjoy what God's doing in our family, you received an index card on your chair when you walked in. I just want you to take a second. I don't know what your summers look like. I don't know what's happened in your life, but I want you to take a chance to celebrate personally, to celebrate what God's done in you, through you, or in the people around you. Celebrate what God's doing and trust God. Follow God. But most importantly, enjoy God and your perfect Father. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that we get to celebrate, that we get to enjoy what you're doing, and we get to celebrate and enjoy in anticipation of what you will do. God, I know that sometimes I get so caught up in what's next, what do I have to do? And sometimes this simple message of just being with you, of enjoying the relationship that you've provided, of enjoying the peace and the joy that you bring, seems hard. It seems like I just can't stand still for a second. God, I pray that this morning all of us can leave refreshed, knowing that you've embraced us, that you've welcomed us into your family, not just to teach us lessons, but so that we could participate in this beautiful relationship, that we could be made new, that we could be forgiven and enjoy that for eternity with you. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. I pray that we leave excited about what you've done and what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.